So how are you doing on 99 days of forgiveness? Okay, I'm hearing some mixed reports. This is day 36. We started on December 28th with the burning bowl, which is itself an act of forgiveness. We write down and burn up whatever we want to leave behind in the old year. Just let it go. And from then, it was 99 days until Easter, which of course represents new life. Forgiveness is an excellent tool to help transform into new life. In fact, it's probably required for transformation. So I suggested in January that you ask yourself every day, who or what can I forgive today? And just see what pops up, that you might be surprised where it leads. So let me give you a personal example. One day this month, what popped up for me was the family dog, Tina, a dachshund that we had growing up. And I thought, what do I need to forgive Tina for? She was a delightful little dog. So I started thinking about Tina. And I remembered that our grandfather gave this puppy to my brother because a boy should have a dog. On his 16th birthday, my parents gave a car to my brother because a boy needs a car. He could stay out later because boys can have more freedom. So there was this whole little nest of resentments. There's always something to forgive, old or new. Sometimes it helps to call it something besides forgiveness. What can I release today? What can I let go of? Remember, the Greek for forgive means to untie the knot. So what knots can I untie today? The trick, of course, is how to forgive. Because you already know why. Because holding on to anger, grudges, and resentments only hurts you. That's an ancient spiritual teaching. Unforgiveness is miserly. It's hoarding. It's holding on to what you think keeps you safe. The Buddha said it's like holding on to a hot coal, intending to throw it at someone else. Jesus said, even prayer won't work without forgiveness. This is Mark. He said, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. In Matthew's version, it says, if you remember that someone is holding something against you, go and ask for forgiveness before you pray. It's cleansing, it's healing. Jesus told Peter not to forgive 7 times, but 77 times. He said to forgive anyone who asks as many times as they ask. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And he forgave the men who crucified him. Meister Eckhart, the 13th century monk, who would be in unity if he were alive today, said, there where clinging to things ends is where God begins to be. He said, if you wish to receive divine joy and God, first pour out your clinging to things. Everything that is to receive must and ought to be empty. So that's another way to practice this. Ask, what am I clinging to? What could I pour out today? But exactly how forgiveness happens is a mystery, even to those who study it, and lots of experts do study it. There are also websites, forgiveness and apology websites. This is a major part of the human experience. There are two kinds of forgiveness. Traditional forgiveness is when someone has done something that caused you pain or made you angry, and eventually you can let those feelings go. The other kind is what I'll call metaphysical forgiveness. It's when you can see that everything was perfect, even though it was painful, that it was necessary for your growth. We'll talk about metaphysical forgiveness next month. And it's not either or, you can do both. But today, let's talk about traditional forgiveness, because I think that's the kind most of us struggle with. I promised I would tell you about the 4-step forgiveness process suggested by Archbishop Desmond Tutu. I loved his book, The Book of Forgiving. We have it in the bookstore. And I'm resisting the temptation just to read you passage after passage from it. Because Tutu knows something about forgiveness. You remember, after Nelson Mandela was released from prison and apartheid ended in South Africa, Mandela became president of South Africa in 1994, and he knew he could not let the country go into a tailspin of revenge. So he created the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and put Desmond Tutu in charge of it. Official accounts say the commission was investigating human abuses, human rights abuses. Tutu says the purpose was to bring together victims and perpetrators just to tell their stories and to hear each other's stories. The perpetrators were given amnesty if they came, and the families were allowed to ask what happened to their loved ones and why and talk about their pain. It was gut-wrenching for all of them, and for those who listened, like Desmond Tutu. That same year, 1994, South Africa established a public holiday called the Day of Reconciliation. It's always December 16th, which is, of course, the beginning of their summer. And a lot of them just take off from December 16th through the new year. Tutu had one line in the book that explains why forgiveness is so hard and why you all groaned when I mentioned 99 days of forgiveness. He says, "The path of forgiveness is not an easy one. On this path, we must walk through the muddy shoals of hatred and anger and make our way through grief and loss to find the acceptance that is the hallmark of forgiveness." He said, "Forgiveness is not weak, it is not passive, and it is not for the faint of heart." His book of forgiving is mostly not about the abuses in South Africa. It's about real people with pretty ordinary lives. Some parents whose children, two kids, were killed by a drunk driver. And they were able to forgive and become friends with her. Tutu's adult daughter had a housekeeper who was murdered in the daughter's home, probably by the gardener. Nothing to do with political violence. And the daughter co-authored this book and wrote about her attempts to forgive. Forgiveness does not let anyone off the hook. It does not pretend it didn't happen. It takes back your power. It does not allow what someone else did in the past to control your moods and actions forever. What heals us is to be honest about it. So, in hearing all the stories and observing the process, Tutu learned there are four steps to forgiveness. First is telling the story. Ideally, you can tell your story to the perpetrator, but obviously sometimes you can't, and they have to be open to it. If that can't happen, find someone safe to talk to. Just tell what happened from your point of view. Share the grief and loss and trauma. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission would not allow any questioning of the story being told. Each individual just got to share their experience. And Tutu said, when people are hurting, they cannot be cross-examined out of their pain. So imagine doing this just one-on-one, maybe with a spouse or a child or a friend. This is how I saw it. Well, this is how I saw it. Not to get to some ultimate truth about what happened, just each to describe your experience. And then step two is to name the hurt. Not to be a victim, but to tell the whole story. Naming the pain is very healing. Don't pretend it's not there or push it away. It's not, "Oh, I'm fine, never mind." Tutu says, the hurt will always find expression. And if you're not honest about it, it will either stay inside and hurt you, or it will come out sideways and hurt someone else, but it will not lie down. He said, you may not have had a choice in being harmed, but you can always choose to be healed. There's usually hurt on both sides. On the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, remorse was not required in order to get amnesty because they didn't want anyone pretending to be sorry. But they were sorry, and they said so. The leaders of Truth and Reconciliation just wanted the victims to be heard and have their questions answered. But as it turned out, nearly every one of the perpetrators who came expressed remorse and regret and asked forgiveness from the victims. So there was healing on both sides. They did the same thing in Rwanda after the genocide there. The perpetrators, who had already been tried and sentenced, wanted to apologize to the victims. and there was no incentive to fake their remorse. Same thing happened in Northern Ireland. They came to apologize. There wasn't even a commission there. The BBC was doing a documentary. And even after these guys were let out of prison, they were still living with what they'd done, and they wanted to go on record with their apology. Of course, you won't always get to hear the other person say they're sorry. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're already dead. But forgiveness is unconditional. You don't need for them to do anything. That would be just giving them more power. This is all about you. So name the feelings. And you can try this little ritual from Desmond Tutu. Go outside, find a stone, clench it in your hand, and name out loud the hurt you are feeling. Anger, betrayal, resentment, fear, mistrust, sadness. And as you name each hurt, clench the stone and then open your hand. So you clench it and say, anger, and then open your hand. And clench and release for every feeling you can name. And then drop the stone on the ground and walk away. The third step is actually granting forgiveness. You've accepted the facts and the feelings you felt. You've accepted your own vulnerability and your humanity. Now accept the humanity of the one who harmed you. We're all capable of doing things that need forgiving, and our lives are linked. South Africans call it Ubuntu. It's the idea that we're all in this together. We're all part of the human race from a common ancestor, literally the mitochondrial Eve, who happened to be African 100 or 200,000 years ago. She is the mother of us all. We literally carry her DNA, every one of us. Ubuntu is loving kindness. It is being aware of our oneness. It covers everything from hospitality to compassion for horrendous crimes. It says we all play a part in creating violence on the planet, but that means we each can make a difference to move toward peace. Ubuntu does not make you automatically forgiving. Nelson Mandela was an angry man when he went to prison. It took him 27 years to come out talking about reconciliation and forgiveness and honor and to keep the country from civil war and self-destruction. He worked on forgiveness every day in prison. And he was later able to lead the people on both sides in recovering their humanity. Granting forgiveness. Don't try to get there too soon. Feel the feelings. Name them. Tell the story as long as you need to. Be sure you have confronted the past. Forgiveness may be gradual. It might feel like a weight being lifted or peace flooding your body, or you might just realize one day the energy around that is gone. Can you wish them well? That's forgiveness. We have to let go of any demand that the other person will suffer as we have suffered. Hating them does not keep you from hurting. Revenge doesn't help. Even afterwards, the pain is still there. Only forgiveness heals the wounds. If you're not sure you have forgiven, just continue to be willing. And then there's a fourth step, which is to renew the relationship or release it. You might not ever want to be around that person again, or have occasion to be. You release them not in anger, but completion. They are no longer a part of your life, even in your head. They've been forgiven and released. Or it might be someone you do want in your life, but a renewed relationship is not the same relationship. A marriage might be renegotiated. A friendship might become a little cooler or maybe closer. This step is where you hear the stories about people who were able to forgive, murderers or rapists or drunk drivers. This is the step of renewal. This is where you can create a new story. You've moved past the story of what happened, it does not define you, and into the story about what you learned or the good that came out of it. You're not stuck in the pain of the past. And I always think of Anne and Norm Rowling, who created the Emily Ann Theater here in Wimberley to honor their 16-year-old daughter who was killed in a car accident. They are not just a couple who lost a daughter. They contribute tremendously to the community. They have a new story. Have you ever read their mission statement? The mission of the Emily Ann is to reinvest in the dignity of the human spirit through the performing arts, the beauty of nature, and community fellowship. Isn't that better than staying angry and devastated? That's the power of forgiveness. Tell the story, name the feelings, grant forgiveness, and then renew or release the relationship. And then you are free to continue with your life, free of the past, free of the feelings, free of any power that person or event had over you. Forgiveness is a decision and a choice to heal, and it occurs through the grace of God. So I want to offer a guided meditation today that is longer than usual, 6 or 8 minutes. It has been very powerful for me and many others in finally forgiving. I got this from Janet Connor. This is her book, The Lotus and the Lily. She got it from Carolyn Mace. It's called Release Your Prisoners. Thank you. You might want to sit up straight for this. Consider that your dungeon is in your abdomen. It's in your second chakra. So put your two hands over your abdomen and open the doors to your dungeon. As your hands open, see the long, cold, dim stairway leading down to your dungeon. Slowly walk down the stone steps. The air gets colder and colder as you descend. There's barely enough light to see. Be careful, don't slip. Touch the wall to help you. At the bottom of the stairs is a huge, old, heavily scarred wooden door, the entrance to your dungeon. Haul it open. You are the only one who can. As the door creaks open, stale, putrid air assaults you. This air is even colder and damper than of the stairwell. There's very little light. As your eyes adjust, step over the threshold. You are now in your dungeon. Look around. Notice the black prison cells lining the walls of your dungeon. You may be surprised how many there are. Walk up to the first cell. Look at your prisoner. You see who it is. You know why you locked up this prisoner and when. This prisoner has been in your dungeon a long time. Now it's time to let your prisoner go. Reach out and open the cell door. You're the only one who can. Look your prisoner in the eye for a moment, and then motion for your prisoner to leave. Wave your arm, point to the door. No talking. You don't have to explain. You don't have to go over the old story. You don't even have to apologize. Just let your prisoner go. Your prisoner may hesitate. Wave your prisoner away. saying silently, "You're free. You can go now. Go, go." Walk up to the next cell. Look at your prisoner. You know who it is. Open the door. Motion for your prisoner to leave. "You're free. Go now. Go." Then walk up to the next cell. You know what to do. Recognize your prisoner. Open the door and let your prisoner go. Do that. And then go to the next cell, and the next, and the next. Take a moment and let all your prisoners go. When all your prisoners have gone, stop and look around at the rows of empty cells. But wait, you're not finished. You have one more prisoner. Walk to the very back of your dungeon. Look, there in the corner, in the darkest, dankest, coldest, most miserable cell, is your longest suffering prisoner. Look at your prisoner. Look. Do you see who it is? It's you. It's always been you. You have kept yourself prisoner for years. You've held yourself prisoner for all the things you think you cannot be forgiven for. Open the cell. Open it. Say to your prisoner self, "Up, get up now. You're free." And let yourself go. Now at last your dungeon is empty. Look at all those vacant cells. Lean back slightly. Look up and call on the loving power of spirit to flood your dungeon with white and gold light. Watch as the cells dissolve and the space is filled with warm, loving, healing light. When the space is completely transformed from dark to light, from cold to warm, from prison to chapel, say thank you. Before you open your eyes, just sit and rest. Notice how you feel. Nothing is more profound than releasing your prisoners. You can return to your dungeon anytime to free forgotten prisoners or to free new ones. if you have a prisoner who won't leave, ask them what their message is for you. And then pay attention going forward. Is there a shift in these relationships? Do you feel freer to be yourself? Are you just breathing more easily? Forgiveness is not something you accomplish. It is God at work in you. Divine love multiplied through you, on earth as you. And we are grateful for this awareness.